Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 139 on August 19th, 2016. Changing the world, one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so that I can record my podcasts more regularly, answer all your questions, write a bunch of articles, and record some videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. You can help me out at patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on the right hand side of my website and it'll take you right there. Okay, the first thing I want to talk about today is about rodeo harnesses. I still get inquiries from time to time about rodeo harnesses, so I thought what I would do is write a review of my experience with the rodeo harnesses and put that up on my blog, which I have done. So I'm kind of giving you guys a heads up to let you know that that's there. Rodeo makes fabric harnesses. They're panty style. And the ones that I tried out were panty style with lace inserts. There are also ones that are brief style, kind of similar to men's briefs. The company started out making the brief style ones and then expanded into the panty style with the lace inserts, which appealed more to me. So for a while at enticeme.com, we offered those. But the short story is that my experience with the rodeo harnesses was not good. Eventually, what ended up happening was we pulled them from our offerings at enticeme.com because the quality just wasn't good enough. Not only was the quality not good enough, but the response that we got when we brought up this lack of quality to the owner of the company was a long, long way from the customer's always right. You can read the whole review there. If you decide to purchase a rodeo harness, just be aware that my experience with the ones with the lace inserts was not good. It is a panty style, comfortable, washable, and fairly inexpensive harness, but I had problems with 3 out of the 4 that I had in terms of quality. So anyway, you can read the whole story about it on the review on peggingparadise.com. I posted it there. I'll put a link in the Linkorama and you can check out my experience. I don't have any experience with the brief style. And one of the things that the owner of the company did mention to me was that the brief style ones are hardier. So feel free to try those out and everything, but they don't quite make the cut for enticeme.com. That decision was made some time ago. I believe I mentioned it on previous podcasts, but since I keep getting asked about that style of harness, I figured I'd write up the whole experience, the whole review, and let you know what I felt about it, including pictures. So that's there, and the link is in the Linkorama. So there you have it. Okay, here is an email from my Pegging Paradise link. Hey, could you guide me to a group or site that is for women who pegged their men and it ruined their relationship? I did enjoy it with him, but he stopped wanting me as a woman and then started cheating on me with men. It has really messed me up mentally and emotionally and sexually. Any advice on where I could find women with similar experiences? Wow. I don't know of any such support group. I would think that if there was any way to find it on the internet with search words, you probably would have found it by now. Certainly, I would recommend that you go to a kink-friendly and sex-positive therapist. And I'm so sorry this happened to you. Long time ago, when I first started doing these podcasts and first started writing my blog, I was pretty black and white about the whole, this is not going to turn him gay. And you know, sexual orientation is a whole lot more fluid than most people think. So I heard from a few people about, well, I wasn't aware at all of any kind of bisexual leanings that I may have had. But when I got pegged, I started getting curious. So I no longer am so black and white about it. And sometimes I do think that exploring that anal pleasure kind of kicks off something inside you that may have been submerged or hidden or suppressed, that's the better word, for a really long time. And bringing that out can allow the desires that you have suppressed for so long because of society's taboos and all that to blossom. It's extreme when a man who has been pegged walks away from women and decides he's gay. But even a man who hasn't been pegged sometimes makes that decision in his life. So I'm so sorry that this happened to you. I really suggest that you find a great kink-friendly, sex-positive counselor to help you through this, because I can't imagine how difficult that must be. The feeling of not being desired is a horrible one, and I wish it would have turned out much, much differently than this, and I wish you the best of luck getting through this, taking a deep breath, moving on, and finding happiness. Thanks for writing in. I'm sorry I didn't have more information for you. Okay. This is an email I got on Pegging Paradise website. The time has arrived. Yes, I now join the masses of listeners of Ruby Writer's Pegging Paradise podcast who anticipate each new episode. I'm very thankful to have caught up, having learned a few tips and tricks along the way. Can't wait to hear what you have in store next. Wanted to go back to a previous question I had. You haven't discussed figging before. As a more dominant woman in the bedroom, I'd humbly and politely suggest that you consider giving it a try in a scene on a willing sub. Having experienced it myself, it was deliciously devilish and thrilling. I researched it and approached a partner with the idea, and she was completely GGG about it. It's not something I'm interested in doing on a daily or even weekly basis, but it was a very intense moment and, in my experience, wasn't nearly as painful as some of the other stories indicated it would be, so that made it quite pleasant. And then he writes, grin. Can't wait to hear what you have in store for the future. So this figging thing, yes, you know, all things butt-oriented I get asked about. Figging, as I understand it, is taking a piece of raw ginger and carving it down so that the ginger is raw and the skin is off of it. And please, people, if you do this, make sure it is kink-friendly. I have spent some time on the spanking websites, as I mentioned, and I have seen spanking videos where figging is taking place during the spanking, right? You can see that little stub of the ginger sticking out of the guy's ass, right? Well, please make sure it's ass-friendly. Make sure the base of that is as wide as you can get it. Be careful with that, people. Can you imagine how horrible it would be if you actually lost a piece of ginger inside you? Anyway, moving right along past that, you know, strict warning, I have heard people say that it is actually a very interesting sensation. And the stories I've heard do range from, oh my God, it was really, really painful, it burned, and then as soon as I took it out, I sat on the toilet and had a volcano for the next half hour, which I really am not interested in putting a sub through. On the other hand, if it is something a lot more mild, then that might be something interesting to play with. But ginger is unpredictable because it's an organic thing, right? And hopefully it is organic ginger. But what I mean is, it's not measured. The strength of it is not measured. So if there was some other way to get that slight hot sensation, that intensity, I know that enticeme.com sells this thing called sex butter. And I actually haven't tried to put it in my ass, but it has a very, very slight kind of spearmint effect. So it has that, that menthol type of cooling. And it is gentle enough to where when you put it on your clit, it just totally brings your attention to it. It doesn't burn and it doesn't do anything other than just sort of like makes you go, whoa. So it's actually a really cool thing to use for foreplay almost, you know. It's like, ooh, we're going to be in bed in half an hour. The kids are going to be asleep. I'm going to put some of that on and I'll be ready to go when he is. So I wonder what that would feel like on a butt plug in his ass. That might be cool. And I wonder also if the sex butter would end up heating up a little bit more if you used a butt plug with a remote control. I'm all for the butt plug with the remote control thing. I love having that control. Anyway, I am way off the subject here onto sex butter as opposed to ginger. I'm not sure if I'm going to cover it. I'm not sure if I'm going to try it. It does seem like something that I would want to try myself so that I know what I'm getting into. But once again, your story about it was not nearly as painful. Well, I wonder if that was just the ginger. And I wonder if when the ginger is harvested, how it's grown, all these different things might have an effect on how powerful that ginger is. So I appreciate you bringing it up. It does sound like a fun, dominant thing to do to a sub while I'm giving him a spanking. I don't know about pegging him afterwards, but it's a fun way to play with an asshole is what it sounds like. So I might try it in the future, and if I do, I will absolutely let you know. Meanwhile, all you listeners out there who have experience with figging, write in. Tell me how it was. Tell me what it was like afterwards. Tell me if you were like that guy that sat on the toilet and had the volcano for half an hour after that, or if it was like this man who wrote in and said, ooh, it was just really fun and really intense, not a cool experience. I started to say it was a cool experience, but it was an intense, warm experience and quite pleasurable. I want to hear from you people out there who have done figging. Write in. Let me know what the deal is. Okay, here's another email. First and foremost, I would like to exclaim how pleasantly surprised I was to just recently stumble upon your site. Just the fact that it is so geared towards pegging and authored by a woman genuinely shocked me. I'm fairly new to this. However, it seems to me that most of the people enthused by this activity are the men who wish to be pegged, like myself. Ha ha. Kudos. I love what you're doing. Secondly, I'd like to apologize right now for how long-winded I already know this email is going to be. That said, if I could give you a little backstory, getting pegged has been a big fantasy of mine for a long time, close to 10 years. I was 22 then, I'm 31 now. I have never found anybody I trusted enough to share this dark secret with for the longest time until very recently. My wife and I have been married for 2 years and dated for 3 years prior. We have experimented in the bedroom with things like light bondage, light dominance and submission, nipple clamps, ball gags. I sought out a certain ball gag that has a big black dildo protruding from the opposite side that makes my cock damn near explode when I watch my wife mounting up on it. Butt plugs, etc. Even though you can obviously see that I prefer to be the sub in this sexual relationship, I am usually the one to introduce new ideas into our mostly vanilla sex life. I do, however, switch and play the dom from time to time in order to even the score, and because she likes being the one tied down sometimes. We have recently been toying around with some ass play on me, and last week I finally gathered the courage to ask if she would ever be willing to fuck me with a strap on, and she was somewhat enthusiastic when she said, yeah, I'd fuck you. A dream come true. So the real hard part is over, right? Now for the other hard part, researching and shopping for the proper equipment. I've done some extensive research, and that's when I stumbled upon your site. I read your blog that you posted in August 2012, where you compared the Fun Factory Share versus the Tannist Fieldo. I'm genuinely concerned about her getting as much pleasure out of this activity as possible, which has me sold on some sort of double ender. My first question, am I wrong in thinking this way? And I'm about 95% sure she is more of a G-spot comer than a clitoral. While the article was supremely informative, especially on point-counterpoint level, I felt like there was no clearly defined victor in this head-to-head matchup, pun kind of intended. I completely understand that this is a very individualized situational thing. However, we are a single-income family, and while I have no problem making the mortgage or putting food on the table, our sex toy budget is somewhat limited. I simply don't have the means to buy up every model available, and I feel like I just need to hopefully get it right the first time. We are both slightly bigger than average. The term husky comes to mind, although I haven't really identified with that term since I was in elementary school, haha. So I have been kind of leaning towards the Fieldo more with its added length. I guess my second question is this. Do you feel like this is a wise choice in dildo selection, or, being a newbie, should I go with the slim model? Or is there an entirely different dildo altogether that you highly recommend? I'm completely open to the expert opinion. My third question is about the harness, because everything I've researched says get a harness. Right now I'm looking into the Aslan Jaguar, a step below your recommended Minx simply because of our budget. I looked into the world-famous spare parts Jacques, but every picture I see shows that it has a solid backing behind the O-ring. Is there a slit in it in the same fashion as a pair of tidy whiteys? I guess I just don't understand why this is the hands-down favorite in the pegging community. I'm sure that you have probably already covered these three questions in your extensive blog and podcast library, though. If you could direct me to which podcast to listen to or which blogs to read, it would greatly decrease my amount of sifting through terrific information on a titillating subject. I'm currently on podcast number 3 and have a long way to go before we can actually get down to business. Any and all feedback would be greatly appreciated, and in the off chance that this inquiry should be chosen for one of your podcasts, feel free to omit any parts that would make it more show-friendly. I guess that it would be pretty long-winded, and I nailed that one. Please just bear in mind that we are banging on a budget. Okay, so I didn't even get a chance to answer this guy, and he sent another email the next day. Okay, so I feel that apologies are in order. With my thirst for knowledge and in my haste for answers, I submitted an email to you yesterday asking all the questions that every other Joe Schmo probably asks you, which dildo, which harness, etc., because I just found your site only a few days ago. I thought that I would have this mountain of information to sift through to find my answers to questions. However, it seems that while I did read the comment section of the article that initially brought me here, Double Dildos, posted in August of 2012, evidently I failed to read them well enough. Just in that, you made mention of a frequently asked question page on one of the comments. Totally an oversight on my part, and after some minimal searching, I located said frequently asked questions, and it made most of my previous email submission null and void. For what it's worth, I believe this is what we have decided on. The Fuse Tango with a shiny finish, Aslan Jaguar harness, probably with the double-up cuff, topped off with the WeVibe Tango bullet. All are available on the Entice Me website, astonishingly easy to find all these specific, sometimes hard-to-find toys on one site, which I'm sure you played no small part in. And with the Ruby coupon code will save me about $75. I haven't placed the order yet, as my wife and I still have a little bit more to talk about before we pull the trigger. She seems to be totally on board, though, which let me briefly mention how much easier it was to ask her to fuck me in the ass with a strap on while we were in the heat of the moment with a plug stuck up my ass than it was to discuss what she's interested in, what sparks her fancy, while we were having a lazy afternoon on the couch watching TV. Weird, right? Took me a couple of hours to gather up the courage and ask her, you know, the thing we talked about the other night? No, that other thing. Totally sucked, but she was totally into it nonetheless. I really appreciate any time you've invested in my emails, and if there's anything in this or my prior email that you'd like to discuss, please feel free. Okay, so my response was, first of all, I really try and do my best to find the most logical way to present things so that they're easy to find on my website. It is a challenge because I have so much information to relay, and I try to put the headers up that appeal to the most common reasons that people find my website. So, you know, but, you know, it all takes time to figure out my website as I discover a better way. Meanwhile, I don't mind the questions at all, so no apology is necessary whatsoever. You know, I totally understand your difficulty in approaching sexual subjects outside of the bedroom. I remember just sitting there with the words in my throat and never saying a word sometimes because I was just too afraid. And I think afraid of what? Well, you know, I'm not really sure. Maybe I was just unpracticed at talking about sex, and maybe that's a better description, but there was definitely some fear there. And that all seems so far away now. The sexual stuff, though, can be so vulnerable that it can almost feel paralyzing. So good for you for talking with her about it. Well done. Now, I think your choices are excellent. That's actually my favorite setup, but do keep in mind that there is a very steep learning curve for some women, for most women, when they learn how to fuck. So I do consider the double to be an advanced toy. I know how invested you are in making sure that she is having pleasure too, but that's a common pitfall for some men, where they are so unused to receiving pleasure and just receiving that they kind of feel like, oh, I want her to get something out of this too because I want it to be something that she likes. But they forget that this learning curve exists. So sometimes their insistence that, oh, you need to have an orgasm too, can be a complicating and off-putting factor because she's already sort of struggling to learn how to fuck someone. And you know, even as a guy, you didn't learn how to fuck someone overnight, so sometimes it takes a while. I would suggest that you talk with her and confirm that she gets off with G-spot equally or more than clitorally, and if she's on board to try the double, give it a try. I get the banging on a budget thing, I totally do. You did find the best double, the Tango with the Wee Vibe, Tango Vibe. The spare parts harnesses are definitely compatible with doubles. They do have that lap over fabric in the back that separates. If you want to listen to an entire podcast about choosing equipment with all the different considerations, podcast number 102 is all about choosing equipment. I'll put that in the Linkorama. So I was a little low energy when I recorded it, but all the information is there. And there are so many choices. Oh my gosh. So listen to that. Talk with your lovely wife. And find out what kind of equipment you are going to get to go down the path and have your first pegging. Please do let me know when I can play that music for you. It sounds like you are well on your way there. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this is something that was written into my forum. I'm a married male who lives in a large city. Before we got hitched over 8 years ago, my wife began pegging me at my request. She got off on it as well, and things were amazing, as every so often I was thrown down on the bed and she had her way with me, either bent over or missionary. I always had the desire to cross-dress, but didn't know how to tell her without freaking her out. On a business trip, I happened to walk by a gigantic sex shop that had everything you could imagine, plus erotic costumes. A PVC French maid's outfit caught my eye. I went in to inquire about the price and the size, and the clerk asked if it was for me. I blushed and said yes. She then recommended that I try it on. I did, and thought I looked great in the mirror. This sounds wild, but this did happen. Just as my body started to relax, I then heard the lady call me out to see if it fit okay. I didn't want to go, as I was so nervous. You could see the bulge on my birdlock through my briefs, and I looked this up, everybody who's listening, and found out that that is a chastity device. You could see the bulge on my birdlock through my briefs as the dress was short, but I thought, what the hell? I walked out, and she walked around me, and I felt like such a piece of meat. She said it looked good. I said, thank you, and turned around to return to the dressing room. As I walked away, she asked how long I had been locked up for. I was brimming with excitement and said 1 month very sheepishly as I returned to the dressing room. When I went to pay, she smiled at me and I could barely look up. When I returned home, I waited for just the right moment to try it on. It was a weekday when the house was out of order and my wife was exhausted from work. I put it on and presented myself to my wife. She laughed and then asked if this is what I wanted, and I nodded my head yes. I was dying for this, but didn't want to say it. She agreed to play along and directed me to clean specific areas of the house. Afterwards, still dressed, she laid me down, flung up my dress, and fucked me hard while asking me repeatedly if I was her bitch. That scenario plays out every so often when the house needs a cleaning. At times, there is no fucking, but I am just as happy to submit, as this sissy doesn't always get what he wants. On 1 year, for my birthday, she asked me what I wanted most. I told her I wanted to go to the LGBT neighborhood in the city and buy one of those hot dresses that the strippers wear and be fucked in it like a whore. I remember we entered the store and she kept holding dresses up to me to see if they would look good. I thought I would explode right there. She said that I better try it on and she asked for a dressing room. We went in the dressing room and I tried it on with a massive erection. We then went to the register to pay, and the owner of the shop indicated that she has a connection that could make dresses in a larger size. This left me with the fact that there was no fooling her as to why or for who we were there. Once again, I blushed so red as we exited the store. I remember we walked past a wig shop, and since I could play the birthday card, I casually said, "Why not pick up a wig?" My wife complied, and we did so. Upon getting home, she had me get all dolled up, clean out, and plugged before having one of the best sexual experiences of my life. We return probably once a year to that dress shop, and it makes me thrilled each time. After we paid the last time, the owner handed my wife a business card stating larger size dresses made with any style. I was so excited and always wait with bated breath to return. And that is how I became my wife's bitch. Oh, that is marvelous. That is such an awesome story. Thank you for sharing that. Cross-dressing with a partner who's totally on board is such an amazing experience. I think that you were pretty ballsy to show up with the PVC maid's outfit and just kind of know that she would be okay with it, or hope she would, and thank goodness that she was. But I love the whole, the house is out of order, you need to clean it, you know, put your maid's outfit on, and then I'll fuck you. I love that. That's something I may adopt. Maid's outfits are fun. I am not so much for the PVC, but the frilly, lacy things, those are fun. Those are definitely fun. So thank you very much for writing in. And as always, all you people out there listening, any cross-dressers from either side of the fence, your partner cross-dresses, or you were the one that cross-dresses, write in. Tell me your story.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
Here's another one from my Pegging Paradise forum. It's a short one, but it's good. I had a massive orgasm and discharge last weekend. My girlfriend was wearing her harness and had a pretty large dildo attached. I'm usually locked in a chastity device and had not had a proper orgasm in over a week. I was still locked while she was pegging me. It only took a few minutes of vigorous action before I started begging her to stop because I was about to come. She just grinned and increased the pace and force of her thrusting. A few seconds later, I exploded inside my chastity cage. Okay, that was fucking hot. Short but sweet. I just wanted to share it with you guys. I tell you, there's enough discussion of chastity cages on here that, who knows, maybe that's something I will explore with a partner in the future. You guys are inspiring me. Okay, here's an email from Pegging Paradise. Hi, I really like your site. Very informative. I just met a girl that wants to peg me, but she won't answer a question. I see a lot of women with large dildos, bigger than a normal cock, and the guys are hurting. What is up with that? Why do they have to be so big? Please help me understand. Thanks. Okay, they don't have to be so big. And probably it sounds like what you're watching is pegging porn. So for whatever reason, pegging porn seems to be invested, for the most part, in showing pegging where the man acts like he's in pain. And they're also very invested, seemingly, in showing pegging almost always with feminization, where he's dressed up like a woman, and also with BDSM, where the guy gets beaten. And one last thing, don't forget this one, is humiliation and degradation, where he's called worthless, he's called a whore, he's called a slut. Now, again, and as always, if you're into any of these things, rock on, awesome sauce. But that is not the only way that you can experience pegging. You can experience it with a very small toy to start out with. As a matter of fact, that is what I always recommend, because pegging is something you need to approach gently and with caution. The ass can be a fragile place to play. So you don't just go slamming something big into it right off the bat because you watched pegging porn. If this girl who wants to peg you that you're speaking of has no experience, I would suggest she needs to get educated as well, because you want someone sticking something into your ass in a way that feels good, not in a way that is meant to mimic porn because she thinks it's a hot idea. porn is unrealistic. The pegging in porn is unrealistic. Spit is not a lube, okay? So educate yourselves, talk with her more about it, and you know what? If she won't talk with you about it, don't fucking let her near your ass, man. Don't even. Because you do not want to get hurt. You don't want to get an anal fissure. You don't want to have a bad experience. Pegging is meant to be enjoyable. And if she just wants to hurt you, well, she can hurt you in other ways. Consensually, if that's something that you want. She can do impact play with you. She can flog you. She can beat you with a strap. She can spank you. But no, shoving something big up your ass, no fucking way. So hopefully, I've helped you to understand this. You know, unless she respects your ass, don't let her anywhere near it. Always, always start with fingers. Gradually work up to something bigger. If she wants to just pound it with a big one, tell her adios. Or just keep fucking her and don't let her near your ass. I don't know what you guys are doing, but how she's acting doesn't bode well if she won't talk with you about it. So there you go. If you have any other questions, write me back. And thanks for writing in and asking that question. Okay. Hello, Ruby and everyone else. We are a happily married spanking couple living in the fabulous Las Vegas. We love our city and especially the weather. I stumbled onto pegging watching porn one day. I, like many other guys, love watching two girls go at it. It's so hot. So one day I noticed my girl-girl porn interest was getting really strap-on heavy. So while my wife was away at work, I decided to see if I could get off on watching a guy get his ass fucked by a girl with a fake dick. Oh my God. I had no idea what I had been missing. It was like the biggest light bulb in the world went off for me. It was just like when the internet showed me that loving spanking was okay too. And there were a lot of people worldwide doing and thinking the same shit that I like. So fast forward to now. I found Ruby by way of someone's recommendation in a forum post on FetLife that she was the pegging expert. I listened to a few of the podcasts and dove right into this pegging thing. Her posts all over this site really helped alleviate all the same anxieties that others have had when you find out you were into this. I have become extremely free, happy, and do not allow shit into my life that will mess it up. It's just who I have become after having a semi-tumultuous 20s and 30s. I'm super lucky to have a wife into spanking as much as I am, and she is very accepting of my pegging interest. She even gratified me a little bit a few days ago by ass-fucking me with an ice cube. I posted a quick blurb about it in the Kinky Forum. You'll probably see me around here a little bit more often as my secret is out to my wife. It's kind of a funny story involving too much Jameson. But now is not the time, as my intro has gotten long. I've been toying with the idea of nurturing my writing and seeing if I can develop it into something. I'm close to doing it. I wrote so many damn papers in school that I really needed a long layoff from writing for anything other than fucking homework. So, I can be really good at writing when I want to be. I aced every English class I can remember, and with general ease. I look forward to sharing some writing with you all, if and when I can get it going. I've been looking for another outlet lately, and I think writing is it. I used to write spanking stories to my wife when we were dating, just because it made her happy, and I can be decent at it. I'm looking forward to making some connections here and hoping to one day buy a starter kit of harnesses and dildos whenever that day comes. Until then, I'll see you here on FetLife. I'm looking forward to connecting with everyone. So here's an example of some of the stuff that we get on the forum, and I wanted to read this because it reminded me, quite honestly, of my own journey when I found the spanking. I did it in a different direction, of course. I knew that pegging was my thing a long time ago. So I stumbled upon a spanking website, and I've said this a number of times. I was there 3 hours later, and I'd gotten off three times. And so it was awesome to discover in that moment that this was another thing that excited me, that turned me on. That's an amazing feeling. It's a very sparkly-eyed moment. That's what I call those moments. They're so shiny and fun and new and exciting more than anything else, just eye-opening. We do have a section on the forum for erotica, so I would encourage you, sir, to go ahead and post your spanking stories and post whatever you like. Those are all there to read anytime you like, anybody who wants to come and sign up from the forum. And I suppose I should mention at this juncture, I've been having a little bit of trouble of people signing up to the forum, registering to use it, who have iPads and iPhones. Working on that with a tech guy, don't have any solution. I do believe you can do it from a Mac, but the pad and the phone are being a little not happy. So I'm working on that. I've been notified that that is a problem. Sorry about that, all of you Mac iPhone users. And I'll see what I can do. So check out the forum, everybody. There's some great stuff happening there. Okay, let's see here. So I want to talk just a little bit about a bill that's sitting in the Senate, and who knows if it'll ever come up for a vote. It is called the Real Education for Healthy Youth Act. And what it does is provide funding for sex ed teacher training, grants for education programs that address the needs of LGBTQ people, students, okay? So this bill has been kind of cruising through the halls of Congress for a while. The Democrats, including Representative Barbara Lee of California, brought it to the House in 2013. And then, let's see, she reintroduced it in March of last year. It's the first piece of federal legislation to assert a young person's right to comprehensive education about sexual health that includes information about dating violence, communication, and decision-making, sexual assault, sexual harassment, and preventing pregnancy and STIs. So the sexual health education that includes information beyond abstinence has totally been found to delay sexual intercourse, increase condom use, increase contraceptive use, and reduce the number of partners among young people. Also, it's found to decrease physical aggression with intimate partners. So Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey reintroduced this one more time, hoping that the House would bring it to a vote. Because most U.S. states don't mandate any kind of sex education, only 13 states require that the information taught be medically accurate. Let me say that one more time, because it is mind-boggling. Fuck. Only 13 states require that the information taught in sex education be medically accurate. So those really lax requirements have paved the way for like untrained and religiously motivated sex ed teachers to use horrible, bizarre, inaccurate metaphors that imply that sex make people dirty and unlovable. And some states even instruct their public school ed teachers to tell students that gay sex is immoral, against the law, and a surefire way to end up with AIDS. So, if passed, the Real Education for Healthy Youth Act would provide grants for teacher training and comprehensive sex education programs in K-12 schools and institutions of higher education. It would prohibit the use of federal grants for programs that promote gender stereotypes. Ooh, that sounds awesome. It would prohibit the use of federal grants for programs that promote gender stereotypes, suppress information about HIV and AIDS, teach any medically inaccurate information, or do not include accurate, sensitive information for LGBTQ youth and survivors of sexual abuse. The bill would also allow schools to use these federal funds for contraception distribution. Oh, this is like dream come true, awesome bill that could be passed in this country to make things a little more reasonable, a little more sane, a little more sex positive, and really do right by our young people. Because the studies have been done, people. The studies showing that the abstinence programs don't fucking work and create so many problems have been done. So it's time to actually make sure that every child in a public school is taught things that are medically accurate and given a good start with the whole sex education thing, instead of the bullshit stuff that goes on in some states and some schools. So the federal government currently spends $75 million on abstinence-only sex education. You probably heard something about that because President Obama completely cut that from his proposed 2017 budget. And a majority of voters in almost every political and religious demographic group support comprehensive sex education. 88% of millennials support it. And it's a proven way to prevent new cases of sexually transmitted infections and teen pregnancy. So this bill seems like a real no-brainer, but it's just sitting there lingering in Congress without a vote. So, you know, we might as well check our naive, wild fantasies of a country where schoolchildren aren't told that their states hate them if they're gay until something like this bill can pass. Oh, please, contact your representatives. Ask them to bring this to a vote. Ask them to support it, because it's something that represents at least a start. It represents a movement in the right direction. And the more noise we make about wanting this thing to pass, then the sooner that we will find ourselves eventually having really quality, comprehensive sex education. Okay, so this next letter is from the person in podcast number 137 that said if a person has, they're going to be doing ass play, and you've got hemorrhoids or piles or have a flare-up, that you can put the vibrating egg on the outside of the anus and that the tissue should shrink back in size and return to normal. And this person mentioned that they were gender fluid, so they wrote back again. And I wrote and said, hey, I put your letter on my podcast, and they wrote back. Yes, I heard it and was very nervous because I hoped it would be appreciated from the constructive point it came from. Thankfully, you did. It sounded like you wanted to hear more about being gender fluid. Regarding being gender fluid, the guys on FetLife, oh my fucking God, I have seen my share and have had to hit the block button. One person thought I was a bisexual woman. Another got into a rage when I pointed out in a group forum that his suggestion of getting high and screwing was questionable, especially around consent, given the use of a mood-altering substance. He called me a kinkster on FetLife, a prude, and when he found out I am assigned male at birth, called me a coward. When people only see a man, then they are offended or delighted by realizing that I'm not 100% masculine in the conventional sense. But then when people presume female organs and such, then they throw in a bunch of other crap to that concept. And it does not get easier when you're interacting with family or friends who are still thinking of you in the binary. Pegging actually helped me realize this part of myself, because I can remember the first time I saw a woman penetrating another woman with a strap on, and I wanted to be the receiver of it so badly. It was confusing, but as I thought about things and went through my life, it came to be a part of a larger dysphoria with the masculine gender overall. I have not been easy to court because people are used to their gender scripts. Then you get the people who do not understand negotiating boundaries, emotionally, verbally, and physically. Even with binary gender scripts, it is complicated enough. Non-binary gender confuses the issue for a lot of folks. It is easier dating other non-binaries, but we're not very widespread, nor do we advertise who we are in this world. As you said in your last podcast, the most masculine-appearing men can relish submission, softness, and all the aspects we associate with femininity. I loved the point about nobody being totally one gender, much in the spirit of Virginia Woolf's concept of genius in A Room of One's Own. Among non-binary circles, there is usually an appreciation for sexual exploration, like butt play, and all the steps that go into it. Enemas, douches, treating piles, or looking out for skin tears, and taking it slow with lots of lube. Of course, some people do not appreciate seeing others express gender differently. I even got laughed at once for wearing heart-shaped sunglasses and asked what was up with them. They shade my eyes and are cute. It has happened since I got on my first grade bus with a purple backpack, and an older boy quickly told me that purple meant I was gay, which I only knew to mean happy. As such, a safe place for non-binaries can be wonderful, so that it is not just in privacy at home, but out among people, and with dignity. We can wear whatever we want and tote things in any color bag. On a related note, happy Pride. Oh, I'm so glad that you wrote back in and elaborated on gender fluid. I've had experiences with gender fluid. I've had a man in my sphere, a young man who loves dressing, loves makeup, loves purses, and slowly but surely started going out into the world with the painted fingernails and things. Has a job where that's okay. People sort of look at him a little bit strange, but His expression of it made him so happy, and I saw that. His expression of wanting to include femininity was a really important thing. It ended up being something that person was really enriched by. It made them happy. So the gender fluidity is a new thing for so many people. I know what you mean, that it kind of makes them mad sometimes, sadly, when people don't follow the binaries. I mean, occasionally I get that with my whole pegging thing. Yeah, I've gotten things like, you know, with the masculinity associated with really wanting to penetrate someone, and I do have a fair amount of male energy. So I've been the recipient of an occasional email that says, I just really need to get fucked well, and that everything would be okay, and I would stop this silliness. So clearly, that was something that made that person uncomfortable, because I wasn't following the binary. Goodness, I love to fuck men's asses. I love it, love it, love it, and everyone listening knows that. So I suppose in that area, I'm a little bit more gender fluid. That's the only extent to which I can relate. And please, everybody listening, understand that with the gender fluidity that is happening now in our society, I do struggle with pronouns. I've mentioned that before. I try very hard to do my he's and she's sparingly in situations like this and use the they and the them. And sometimes I get it pretty smoothly, and sometimes I really don't. So have patience with me, and please feel free to remind me if I'm blowing it, because I don't want to. I want to make space for everybody's expression of who they are in the gender spectrum, because it is a spectrum. It's not binary anymore. Really, what we're talking about here is prostate owners being penetrated by non-prostate owners. That's really what it's all about. So again, thanks for writing in. So we're going to leave it there. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also find my work at pegging101.com, where I have the informational articles only and no kink for those of you who are wanting to learn about pegging but don't have any interest in the BDSM that I include in peggingparadise.com. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any of the toys I talk about from enticeme.com, please remember to use the coupon code RUBY for a whopping 20% off your purchase. And remember, shipping is free for orders over $100. Please send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too silly, or too strange. Because, you know, a lot of listeners are going to learn right along with you, so don't be shy. Throw the questions out there, put them in my mailbox, call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.